And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. A lot of people to talk to this hour. The Powerball numbers have been drawn, and they are as follows. We already know that Dan Northcraft hasn't won. Now, it would have been cool for Dan to win.
Yeah, you'd say that because he might give you money.
I wouldn't expect that. Not at all.
You wouldn't expect that.
No, I would not expect that.
Well, I think that it would be normal for you. If Dan Northcraft, who's your engineer, won the Powerball, I would think that some gratuity of some kind.
Yeah, I think a gratuity.
What do I look like, the head waiter here? Hey, Phil, thanks a lot, man. You know.
Well, we can talk about a gratuity.
It's a tip. A tip.
Yeah, I'd tip you.
I would, yeah. If I won, I would definitely tip you.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Is there anything else I can get you? God.
Oh, I see. So in other words, Phil, because they're giving you the gratuity, you feel like you're step and fetch it. Oh, okay.
No, I didn't even use the word step and fetch it. I would not expect it. I wouldn't expect it. I would even decline it.
Oh, bull.
I'm telling you, if Dan said, hey, Phil, I want you to have XYZ, okay?
Like how much?
I'm telling you, I would decline it.
If he gave you like $5 million?
$5 million, I would decline it.
What if he offered you $50,000?
I'd be a little offended.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, I would not. I wouldn't ask for any. I would not. No, there's no way in hell. First of all, I've only known Dan for a year or so. Secondly, there would be no reason, and I would not accept it. There's no way in hell. No way in hell.
Now, are you kidding me? You would accept no money on a $550 million jackpot? You must be playing out of your mind. I mean,
yeah.
Hold on. I'm not done yet. I'm serious, Phil.
What are you getting up in my face for?
I just think you're lying, man. I don't think you're lying. I don't mean lie, but I think you're crazy lying. You know, like, you don't know what you're saying. The man win $550 million. For the first time in his life, he's got the money. And then you're talking about, like, you would not take the money. Man, I would. I'd take the money like a thief and run. Run like a, you know.
I would too, Phil. I'd take the money.
Yeah, well, you'd probably.
Watch it, I swear to God, because the day is fast approaching, bud, where I'm going to sink a screwdriver right into you.
All right.
You watch. Tell him to watch it.
Bud.
How dare you think those things? Now, if Dan won $550 million, I've got to say it. I'd give it up. And I'd give it up in any filthy motel.
Well, then what are you telling him to watch what he's saying?
I want to be the one that says it.
Yeah.
Hey, bud, watch what you're saying about this nice lady. She'd give it up in any filthy motel.
I'm not saying anything Frank wouldn't.
Frank would actually countenance that.
I think so, yes.
Well, all right, let's get off of what Margaret would do or Bud would do. The winning numbers, 5, 16, 22, 23, 29, and a Powerball of 6.
No, what it was, a Powerball.
That's what, like, R.C. Collins, he had a ballectomy, or I shouldn't say that. That means that the utter testicle is...
Are you out of your mind or something? It's got to do with Powerball.
We're still talking about that?
Yes.
This is what I mean. You're trying to tell me that I was inappropriate.
He's slow. What did you think we were talking about?
I thought you were talking about when they had a ballectomy.
There's no such thing as a ballectomy. That's number one. It is a cancer... R.C. Collins, the kid from Bradley Military Academy, had cancer of the testicles. He had one removed. And ever since then, those two idiots make jokes about it. Everything from how he's got phantom nut.
Yeah? You never heard of phantom nut?
No, I haven't, and I don't think it exists.
What's phantom nut?
You ever heard of phantom limb? When a man or a woman has an amputated limb, for a few months or a few weeks, I don't know which, afterwards, they will feel the arm. They will feel like, for instance, a scratch. Something needs to be scratched. They will reach over to scratch that arm and realize that there's no arm there. And it's often called phantom limb. So along comes this smart-ass kid from the military academy. Yeah, I got phantom nut.
Yeah, how do you know it's not true?
He made that up just so he can do jokes about reaching down and...
You understand? All right, the number's 5, 16, 22, 23. What are you doing, Robert?
I'm looking up phantom nut, just to make sure.
Don't waste your time.
Sorry.
5, 16, looking it up. 5, 16, 22, 23, 29, Powerball of 6. A lottery official said late Wednesday the jackpot increased to $579 million by the time of the drawing, making the cash option $379.8 million. Now, what we're going to do here in a moment is have our resident attorney and advisor, Harvey Weierman, will come on and talk about what a lot of people would need to talk about, and that is, what do you do with $579 million? What do you do? It's easy to fantasize about buying houses and this and that, but the I guess you might say the highway to the good life is strewn with the wreckage of people who have mismanaged money and have found themselves without capital after a very short period of time. And I was reading an article, and I'm sorry that I didn't finish the story. And if I have to turn off microphones here, I will, by the way, because I'm going to finish this story.
I'm not saying anything.
What are you doing?
I'm looking in my purse for some lip balm.
I got lip balm.
You filthy.
No, I really do.
You know, he's not always. So there was a crew of idiots. That's the only way you can describe it. And this happened about 12 years ago. And I actually got a call from a friend of mine who optioned the story. He optioned it to make a movie out of it. It would have been a fantastic movie, but I don't think I've seen the movie. Unless, of course, it was that dopey Simple Plan. Do you remember that Billy Bob Thornton movie?
Yeah, it's about they robbed somebody?
Yeah, I don't know. I maybe that was it. But this is a true story. It happened in North Carolina. And these are about the most stumble-bum bunch of clowns you've ever heard of in your life. They rob a bank. Or it might have been a Brinks truck. I think that's what it was. Now I'm getting the story just sort of it's coming up in drips and drabs from my subconscious here. But they rob this Brinks truck and they have all this money. One of them is a female. I think there's two or three that are men. One of whom they send to Mexico. Now, once we're done with this plan, we'll send for you. Now, I don't know what he's doing in Mexico. I think it's he's down there to invest their money or otherwise set them up in a place to get on the lam, too. I think that's it. So he's down there to set up where they're going to live after they rip this Brinks truck off. Now, they've ripped off the Brinks truck. They've got the money. It's a lot of bread. I think it's in the millions of dollars. Now, incredibly, and this is a true story, incredibly, one of the first things that these clowns do is they take the money to a bank, and this was the female, and I'm not saying this because it's a female, I'm trying to give you the players that were involved here. She takes some of the money to a bank to open up an account, and the money is still in the bag that has the name of the institution that's been ripped off.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God. This doesn't do anything for the reputation of the South, does it?
Well, I don't think it has anything to do with that. This kind of stupidity is going to happen anywhere. She's giving the money for a deposit to the bank, and it shows the bag there of who they ripped off. Even if they didn't do the job themselves, somebody's going to ask, where'd you get this money? So now the bank alerts the FBI. Meanwhile, these imbeciles, with this guy waiting in Mexico City, by the way, embark on a spending spree, which is what, don't they say? I mean, I've seen enough gangster movies. Don't they say after you rip off a lot of money, don't spend?
Yeah, they say if you don't spend a lot of money like they did in Goodfeller. Remember that?
Yeah, the guy that bought a Cadillac.
Yeah, you're not supposed to spend a lot of money because people, where did you get the money? Well, they went out and they bought a house. And they bought things, and then they bought all that garish gauche crap that the nouveau riche often invest in. They bought little elephant figurines that were doorstops. They bought ridiculously asinine velvet paintings. They bought a lot of trash, and they bought it to the tune of thousands of dollars. Meanwhile, still down in Mexico City, waiting for the word from his compatriots, is this poor slob sitting in a hotel in Mexico. He doesn't know what's going on. He's running out of dough, and these idiots in the United States have not sent for him, have not communicated with him. They're just spending this money left and right. Well, make a long story short, how this whole thing finally got caught, found out, I should say, in part because this woman walks in with the money to open up a bank account with the bag of the place they ripped off. Meanwhile, the guy in Mexico finally gets tired of waiting. He gets freaking tired of waiting. He doesn't know what's going on, so he starts making phone calls. The FBI has tapped the hell out of all these lines. I mean, this is probably one of the easiest arrests that the FBI has ever been involved in because these imbeciles, all you had to do was follow them around, and if you could keep from laughing, you know, you're recording them and you're wiretapping them.
So So, needless to say, they're in prison.
You know what? I never followed up because, obviously, in those days, and I say those days, it was around 1999, 1998, I wasn't smart enough or savvy enough to follow up on this stuff online. And I'm telling you, I did talk to a friend of mine who did option the story. He traveled to Charlotte, North Carolina to talk to these people. And I believe he did, and I believe he optioned their story. He paid them some money. They're sitting in a jail cell, you know, whatever. And, you know, you can't make any money in some states off of your crimes. But nonetheless, I think you do have to get the rights from someone if you're going to use their name. But I don't think this thing ever saw the light of day.
That's not... people are dumb, man.
Yeah, why don't you let Mommy give you an extra helping of dumb in the...
Yeah, exactly. An extra helping of dumb. So there you go. So not everybody. So Harvey Weinman is coming up next, and he's going to tell you what to do with the money that you steal.
with the money
from the ball. Yeah, the Powerball. We'll be right back with Harvey Weinman, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
You should look that up.
Phil Henry
Show. Why don't you look that up online? If you look up online and look under dumbass, and you'll find.
So joining us will be, I know we got Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the line. We got Harvey Weinman.
Yeah, I'm going to get Harvey Weinman in a minute.
What is this you're looking at?
Well, that's the thing that I found. It says here that you cannot plow a cotton field with an elephant.
What do you mean?
That's a law in North Carolina.
Yeah, but that, how do you know?
Because that's the law.
You can't plow a cotton field with an elephant. Hey, Jay, are you there?
It's Jay Santos.
All right. The Powerball lottery has.
Hold on, just a second, Phil. I'm sorry. I do apologize, Phil. But as you know, I just. Roger.
Something. I got a bug.
Roger. We had a couple of situations. We had two teenage girls that had come out of a mall, and had they had shopping bags that were a little larger. They had shopping bags a little larger for two little teenage girls. We looked in, we did find at that time items of clothing that would probably most likely be inappropriate.
I'm sorry, so?
We found items of clothing that was going to be inappropriate on a teenage girl. We found, you know, thong and brassiere. So we did have...
Yeah, you know, some of the things you're engaged in, Jay, I'm not... clear as to the...
Believe me, Mr. Henry, we are within our rights to make sure that we've got a community that is not drifting into a sea of sewage and excrement. And you're going to have...
What's that got to do with checking the bags, the shopping bags of teenage girls?
Because that's where it starts. Because I had been a happily married man. I am happily married now, but I had been a happily married man. And I'm on my second marriage, and my first marriage was destroyed. And I mean destroyed, Phil, by just that occurrence where a teenage, not a teenage, but she was 20, and what she had in her shopping bag led me into a sewer. And I have learned my lesson.
Well, that's fine if you want to be a moral cop. That's not what you are.
No, I'm not. You're right. But if we suspect that the laws of the United States of California, not the United States of California, but if the laws of the state of the United States of California are going to be violated.
What laws are going to be violated by the state of California if a teenage girl is coming out of a store?
Phil, this is not why...
No, hold on. What laws are going to be violated?
What laws, Mr. Henry, are moral laws and the laws of decency? We've got laws against public nudity, don't we?
Yes.
Okay. If you have a teenage girl who is countenancing or is conspiring to violate, I know what you're saying. All we're asking is to look into the, take a peek in the bag, which is what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is all about, would take a peek. And if there's nothing there, a tip of the pith helmet, be on your way. Thank you very much. Have a very pleasant afternoon.
But if she has a bra or a thong and she's 15 or 16...
then we do have some question. And I don't think coming from a man such as myself, I was married once before, and I love my wife very much, but my wife left me, and to this date has nothing to do with me and will not even allow me to see a young son that I had with her because I had looked into it. As Major Elvis Newton told me, Mr. Harry, I looked into a bag, and I looked into the bag. I looked into the wrong bag. I looked into the bag of ill will. And
as Major Elvis Newton told you, you looked into the bag of ill will.
I looked into a bag of stuff. It was a full sack of sin.
Well, can we move on? Because I think this is irrelevant, and I think this gets into areas that, quite frankly, Mr. Santos, are areas of quasi-legality.
I agree.
Well, I've told you a million and one times, Mr. Henry. A million and one times.
I don't care what you've told me.
That we are within our rights.
I don't care what you've told me, because you're a citizen's auxiliary police. You do not have the absolute legal authority, as far as I know, for some of these things. And searching a teenage girl's bag, and if she's got... You know, this is based on what?
This sounds to me... You had a bad marriage.
No, I did not. I had a wonderful marriage, Ms. Gray. And I would thank you to please respect that.
Well, no. All right, I do respect that. But, Mr. Santos, your wife left you because you were fooling around with a much younger woman.
I was led into a bag of filth.
You're quoting Major Elvis Newton.
That is correct. And I'll tell you something right now, sir. If ever I was going to quote anyone in this world, anybody that I have respect for is Major Newton. So you're barking up the wrong tree. If you expect me to disavow my relationship and my connection to Major Newton and what he's done for me, he was the one that helped me out. I was in a state of emotional wreckage. And
So you were feeling bad and you hooked up with this Newton? What is he?
He's Major Elvis Newton. He runs the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
He is the founder, ma'am, of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And he befriended me at a time in my life when I was an emotional wreck. I mean, it's just to say that. Because my wife, yes, Phil's right. My wife had ordered me out of the house. I have not seen hide nor hair of her or my son. And that's because I was led into a sack that was filled had brassieres in it.
What is this bag of filth you're talking about?
That's what I'm talking about, the sack that the girl had.
He's talking about the shopping bag she had, and Major Newton turned it into a piece of moral poetry, I get.
Jerry, you say that with such disdain.
I'll tell you something, Jay. I'm tired of talking about this. I want to get to the point here. We're talking about the lottery, right?
That is correct. There's a lot of people out there. I think this is absolutely ties in. There's a lot of people who are spending a lot of money on lottery tickets tonight. And I think I'm talking to your audience right now when I say that I certainly wish all of you well. But if you are sitting around and you are contemplating what you think you're going to do with this money, and if you're sitting around fantasizing, I feel it's my duty to say to you simply, you got no chance. You have no chance at all to win. And it's what we have been doing with Operation Off Key all day. We have been telling people here in the South Bay and other areas.
What is Operation Off Key? My understanding is it was you going up to people in malls and public places and what?
Well, it was simply us saying, do you have a lottery ticket? And if they gave us an argument about it, then we would ask for their ID and so on and so forth. But
what do you mean give you an argument about it?
Well, what I'm saying, Mr. Henry, is if I went up at Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are uniformed, we wear a blue armband, which gives you absolute, you can see exactly what it was, what we look like, right?
Yes, but even with a blue armband...
Margaret, hold on.
Okay, so can I continue?
Go ahead.
I don't like you putting your hand up like that.
I'm sorry, would you hold on for a minute?
And so, can I...
Go ahead.
So, if we saw people who... you know, are just gathered, maybe standing around talking, which may look suspicious because it's Powerball Day.
And why does that look suspicious, people standing around talking?
If we see a group of two or three people talking on a day that the Powerball numbers are being drawn, I think there's a good chance that they're discussing with each other what they're going to do with the Powerball money if they win. So we went up to those people.
I don't know how you make that determination, but go ahead.
Mr. Henry, I'm a police officer. I'm on the front line of law enforcement, okay?
All right, that's fine. We got to take a break. When we come back, Jay is going to tell us how it is he walks up to strangers in malls and elsewhere and asks them, do you have a lottery ticket? And if they say yes, he basically tells them, you've got no prayer, no chance of winning. We'll find out exactly what the thinking is behind that piece of police work. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't like you putting your hand up and going, Margaret, Margaret, you know, I'm not some woman to be shushed.
I apologize, okay?
That's better.
I wouldn't take that from her, Mr. Henry.
Oh, shut your mouth. Phil, shut the hole.
Say that again?
Because I'm not as strict about all those things, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, but to the point of a power...
All right, hold on. We're back with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk here with him about the Powerball and what your group is doing to... what is the point, again, of you going up to strangers and saying, hey, did you buy a Powerball ticket?
Well, the point, Phil, is to alleviate what will obviously be a strain on the workforce. Whenever the winner of this is announced, you're going to have individuals who've invested a certain amount of money in buying Powerball tickets. They are going to be going through a certain level of disappointment, and that's going to have a cumulative effect in terms of man hours the day after these winners are announced. My point being that we have a productivity problem already in the United States of America. Individuals who thought they were going to win the Powerball, and as Sub-Commander Gleason likes to say, yeah, you know, are you going to win a Powerball? Yeah, right. You know, Sub-Commander Gleason likes to say that, you know. And
What does he say?
Sub-Commander Gleason, when he said you're going to win a Powerball, he just goes, yeah, right. Yeah, right, you know.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that's what he says.
Right. So, I mean, but he's saying that basically what Sub-Commander Gleason's saying.
Excuse me, what is a sub-commander?
Margaret, I don't have time, okay?
I'm sorry.
A sub-commander, well, I can answer the lady's question, Phil.
All right, very quickly.
Well, it takes a while.
I can't. I want to get to the point of you...
I'm sorry. Sub-commander is one of the ranks we have in the Citizens Auxiliary Police, very quickly.
And who's above a sub-commander?
We have an oversight commander, and then we have me, then we have a full commander, and then we have, what do we call them? The ladies. We have ladies. They're called what? Starship ensigns? For some reason, Major Newton wanted them to be called Starship ensigns, and I don't know if that has to do with Star Trek.
Well, why does he want them called that?
I thought you didn't have time.
I'm curious.
I don't know, Mr. Renan. I know that we got a lot of the names of our ranks from a Star Trek, and the reason is not because we're Trekkies. I don't even like Star Trek. It's because Major Newton felt that it gave him the idea of, wow, nobody ever really calls anybody a commander. So we'll use that one. We can use Ensign. I think he just says Ensign, doesn't he? Hey, Marblehead. Ensign?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
What'd you call that guy?
That's a nickname we have for Marblehead. He's bald. He shaved his head bald.
He what?
He did what? Yeah.
He shaved his head bald.
He shaved a ball?
He shaved his head bald.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right.
So what we do, we go up to people. God, that was a whole lot of... I don't even know where I am now.
Yeah, you're right. We're here with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now tell me about you going up to people and asking them if they bought a lottery ticket.
We go up to people and ask them if they bought a lottery ticket. And I'm just moving into our command center here, Phil. We go up to people and we ask them if they bought a lottery ticket. And we will say, did you buy a lottery ticket? And sometimes they'll say yes, sometimes they'll say no, and sometimes they'll say, why do you want to know? And if they say, why do you want to know, we'll then say, okay, sir, do you have ID? And if they say, yes, I do, then we'll say, that's fine, what's that? Yeah, you're not supposed to be doing that. Take the pen and take the crayons. I'm talking to one of our sub-commanders right now, Phil. Just give me a minute, okay?
Okay.
Take the crayons and take your pen and your little drawings and do it somewhere else. Hey, Jerry, take over Station 1.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was that?
What was what?
What you just said to that one guy?
That was Sub-Commander Turner.
Okay, and take your pen and your crayons.
He was drawing matador pictures. He's got a thing for drawing matadors and bulls and stuff. And I said, you know, he's supposed to be paying attention to the Internet and see if there's anything on the Internet.
Like what?
Well, we have the South Bay pulled up on a grid. And he's supposed to be looking to see if there's any police activity. And instead, he was doodling matadors and bullfighting scenes. I don't know. I mean, you're asking me.
Well, you're the guy. Okay. All right, so now you go up to them. Do you have ID? Yes, I do. And that's all you need to know?
That's all we need to know. See, that's a lot of people will say to us, well, what right do you have? I didn't say I had to see it. See, that's how we get around. A lot of people think they're so smart. Well, they're not that smart. They say, you have the right to ask me and see my ID. I didn't say I wanted to see it. I just asked you, do you have ID? If they say, no, I don't have ID, that's when we get on the horn to the local police, South Bay, Redondo Beach, El Segundo, and we'll say, I got people that's, you know, here, they don't have no ID, might want to check it out. And then we'll say, did you buy a lottery ticket? And they'll say, "Who? You know, I don't want to tell you. And that's when, you know, we'll go through it again.
Okay, so far, this asking for ID and calling the police if they say they don't have an ID or they don't want to answer the question is you ask them, do you have a lottery ticket, and they refused to...
Yeah, hold on for a minute. I said to take the crayons. And
Jay, I don't have a lot of time.
I apologize, Phil. It's just that this is Station One where we look at posts on Twitter, and also there's chat rooms.
And what are you looking at on Twitter?
We're just trying to find out what's going on in the South Bay area. I told you about the bullfights, didn't I? What is it with you and bulls? Why do you draw them? Why do you draw bullfighting? Well, I think it's very, very suspect, Sub-Commander Turner. Very, very suspect, Sub-Commander Turner. Are you paying attention to me? You got bullfighting pictures. You got you're doodling brassieres on women. You know today. You know what today is? The anniversary of when Ellen left me.
Yes, sir.
And how do you think I got sucked into the bag of filth? That's exactly what you're doing now, going down the same bag of filth highway. God, can't believe it, Miss Henry.
All right, can we continue?
I apologize. So. If they say, yes, I did, I'll say, all right, we'd like you to know, Citizens Auxiliary Police would like you to know a few facts and figures. And
we got Harvey Wireman.
All right, I tell you what, Jay, hold on. I'm going to get Harvey Wireman, who is calling in, and he also has a couple of things that he may or may not want to say about all of this. We do have Harvey on to give us a hand here in terms of the estate planning. Harvey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Great. I'm talking to Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, so if you can hang on.
Yeah, Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir.
Sir, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm just telling Mr. Henry about our interdiction.
Yes, sir.
So we will ask people, did you buy a lottery ticket? And they will say,
I didn't buy one, no.
No, we're not asking you, Harvey.
Right.
You're going to forgive me, Phil, but I'm in Vegas tonight because Paul McDermott is having his 68th birthday party, and so I'm over just enjoying myself at the Rio tonight. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Right.
You want me to go?
Go ahead.
So I say, do you have a lottery ticket? No, I don't. Yes, I do. Whatever. And they say, yes, I do. I say, okay, there's a few things. How you doing, Bill? There's a few things.
Put Harvey on hold, will you?
Well, okay.
So, anyway, Phil, I was saying to this guy, thank you very much. So, I said, and then I'll say to them, I forget. Damn it.
I'm sorry, Jay. It's been a very busy night tonight.
Jay, you were saying that what you tell them.
Right. The Citizens Auxiliary Police would like you to be informed of the fact that there are some things you should know when it comes to having a lottery ticket. How you doing, Eddie? How you been?
Would you put him on hold?
No, I thought you were done.
Mr. Henry, if you want me to hang up...
No, I don't want you to hang... Put him on hold, please. Go ahead, Jay.
We'll say to people, are you aware of the fact that you just bought a lottery ticket? And, of course, they've just told us that they have bought a lottery ticket, but it's part of the form of the formula that we do. So, did you buy a lottery ticket? Yes, I did. Okay, now comes our standard Citizens Auxiliary Police pitch. Are you aware that you bought a lottery ticket?
What do they say to that?
Yes, I just told you I did. I know, but I got to say, are you aware that you bought a lottery ticket? Yes. And that they'll always say, but I just told you that, and we got to keep saying, I know, but I got to ask you. So sometimes it takes about 2 minutes or 3 minutes to get started. And
what are you talking about?
Yes, what if they say, you just asked me that?
If they say, you just asked me that, I say, I know, but I've got to ask you again as part of four. Did you buy a lottery ticket? And they'll say...
Don't yell, Jay. I'm sorry, but it's a very bizarre thing you're doing here.
I apologize. Ms. Gray, I'm sorry.
That's all right, Jay. Please explain.
Did you buy a lottery ticket?
What are you, crying?
No, I'm not crying. I'll ask him, did you buy a lottery ticket? You just asked me that. I know I just asked you that, but according to the form of what I got to do, I got to ask you again. Did you just buy a lottery ticket? Yeah, like I just told you, I did buy a lottery ticket. And then I got to say, yeah, I know.
Well, why do you keep going back and saying, yeah, I know?
Because they keep saying, I just told you, and I got to explain to them why I'm doing it.
You already explained it once.
Well, apparently they didn't get it because they keep going, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't you understand nothing? All I'm trying to do is...
Well, quit crying about it because just the stuff you do is so jacked up. Expect everybody...
Bud, take it easy, okay?
Yeah.
My God!
What are you talking about? I'm jacked up. I got to look at your head one day, and I don't know whether I was looking at it. You looked like a claymation. Your head looked like it was in claymation. Like it was in total... Like it was there was movement going on in your skull.
That's because I got a blade in it.
Well, I mean, that explains a lot.
Hey, Jay, don't be knocking him. You're the guy that's got the most weirded out thing I've ever heard. Did you buy a lottery ticket? Yes, I just told you. Oh, okay, well, I got to explain to you. Did you buy a lottery ticket? Yeah, like I told you. Okay. What the hell, man?
What are you talking about?
What am I talking about? That's the weirdest bunch of crap I've ever heard of in my life. All right, we got to take a break. Harvey Wireman is coming back with us.
I didn't give a chance to tell you about the lottery ticket.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. Did you buy a lottery ticket? And they go, yeah, I just told you. And then I have to say, okay.
You already said that!
Bud, easy.
Okay, so then I say, all right, the Citizens Auxiliary Police want you to know that in buying a lottery ticket, you got no chance of winning. You will not win. You will not win. The odds are so far against you that all you're going to do is get depressed and upset after you get all excited thinking that you're going to buy a house, you're going to buy a lot of, you know, motorcycles or whatever you want to buy, only to be told tomorrow when they draw the numbers, or like tonight, you didn't win. So what you've done is you've set yourself up for failure. You are going to be a failure. You might as well just face you're a loser, and the society is going to pay a penalty tomorrow when you come all into the office all sad. That's all I got to say.
Did he hang up on me?
Yeah, he did.
I think that's the first time Jay Sattis has ever hung up on me, and I don't know what his problem is.
Phil, I told you what his problem is. He is the stupidest man you've ever interviewed on your show.
I don't believe that there's such a thing. I think that there's nervousness.
That guy's an idiot, and yeah, but again, you gotta leave him where you found him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Really? Okay. Well, we'll be right back with Harvey Wireman on Powerball on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Of course, we were just talking to Jay about Powerball. And that's
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
How you doing, Phil? Nice to see you, yeah. I'm going to be on this radio show with this chat guy.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Get me on the air now.
You're on the air, Harvey. Go.
All right, they have identified the, let me move over here. They have identified the winning tickets were sold in Arizona and Missouri. Again, the Arizona and Missouri tickets.
What is the Arizona and Missouri?
That's where the winning tickets were sold. You say they have winners.
They have winners in Arizona and Missouri, matched all six numbers to win the record of $579.9 million
jackpot. Now, yeah. So, Powerball officials say tickets sold in Arizona and Missouri.
Do they know how many tickets?
What's that?
Do they know how many tickets?
What do you mean, how many tickets?
How many people had the winning ticket, do they know?
Yeah, how many people won it?
I don't know what you mean.
Harvey, how many tickets had those winning numbers? Do they know?
What tickets?
The ones that have the Powerball.
What an ass. Gonna yell at me?
Let me do it, Phil. Harvey, this is Margaret. I'm sorry that Phil yelled at you. How are you, dear?
I'm fine. How's Frank?
Frank's great. He's at home right now. Harvey, how many tickets did they sell with those numbers on them?
Yeah, I said scotch. You know what scotch looks like, right? Well, then why'd you bring me vodka? The what? Why'd you bring me vodka?
Harvey, we don't have time. We're on the air.
I'm on the air right now. All right, ask me the question again.
Oh, God.
The question is, how many of the tickets, how many winning tickets were sold?
I just told you they've got the numbers in Arizona and Missouri.
Yes, but those are the states. It doesn't tell us how many tickets were sold.
I got it right here. They don't know. They haven't determined that yet.
Hold on for a minute. I'll do it. They haven't determined that yet. Thank you very much. You didn't put the ginger ale in there, did you? Take it back. I don't want ginger ale. I don't want any of that garbage. I want a straight, yes, I want a Dewar's. I want three fingers on ice. I don't want ginger ale. God. Did you hear that, Phil?
Yes.
Well, excuse me for getting a drink.
You know, I'm on the air, man, and I got more people on this radio show who are off doing 55 different things while I'm interviewing them, okay?
You know, you're very rude tonight. You know that?
No, I'm not. I don't think I am. I think I'm just trying to get some information. Go ahead.
Harvey, this is Margaret again. I think Phil is a little wound up tight. So, we don't know how many tickets, dear, and thank you very much.
Right, that's what I told you. A lottery official said, I'll tell you what, here's what I know, and when I get it, you'll get it, okay? When you get it, I've got it. And if I don't get it, one thing is for sure...
I won't get it.
That's exactly right. That's my boy. You won't get it. You won't know anything more until I know more. I know more, you know more. And if you want, I'll use the shorthand that Mr. Danger uses. He uses the gay shorthand.
What is the what?
Yeah, gay shorthand. I'm gay man, gay journal.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't know that one?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, when I get, you get. Me no get, you no get. That's the shorthand that I use with a lot of my clients.
Mr. Wireman, this is Bud Dickman. You still practice law and have people that are criminals?
Yeah, occasionally I do, Bud. I've got some high-profile clients that are I'm on retainer. And I take care of much of their business. These people are wrongfully accused of being organized criminals. They have been harassed by the federal government as well as the state of California. And as an attorney, it is my duty to protect these people from the harassment they received at the hands of law enforcement.
Well.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well.
Phil, if Harvey says that they're innocent citizens...
Okay, but I mean, Harvey, don't you know that you represent some people that are...
No, I do not know. No, I do not know. I represent private businessmen. Mr. Antonelli, the gentleman you talked about that we had the trial yesterday, that man has been in toxic waste disposal for 20 years. And I can tell you, no finer a man do I know.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to slander my clients...
No, I don't. I don't. You're right. I'm sorry.
So, Bud, to answer your question, yes, I've...
How's your throat, sir? Is it still bad?
Yeah, you can hear. I need the...
Maybe you ought to get a little ginger ale in that drink.
What's that going to do?
I think that'll just make it worse.
Yeah, you just drink the... You know what you ought to do, Mr. Wehrman? Is get a toddy.
Hey, that's a great idea, Bud. Hey, you...
Now, hold on, Harvey. I still got some questions for you.
I'll answer your questions. Hold on for a minute. Hey, you. You with the hair. Come here. You see that? I want a hot toddy. Take that booze. Don't throw it out. No. I want it. You put that and you heat it up. You know what a toddy is. Okay, great. All right, so what do you want to know?
All right, what we wanted to know was investment information.
What you need, if you win the lottery?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you need to know? You get yourself a certificate. Of course, with the interest rates as bad as they are, I would suggest that you do the following thing, Phil. You get an investment brokerage house. One that I like is these people at Fidelity Investments. And, you know, you talk to my friend Gene Bodega. He's a tremendous guy.
What is the name of the company again, Harvey?
It's Fidelity something. It's not investments. Fidelity, it's finite fidelity. I forget, but look up the name. Gene Bodega is his name. This guy can turn $2 into a pile of gold that a leprechaun... It would make a leprechaun, you know what himself. Yeah, the leprechaun had filled two little green breech pants with the...
All right, thanks very much, Harvey. Thank you.
Well, Phil, that was rude.
Oh, come on. The guy can hardly hear himself. I can't hear him. He's in the middle of some casino. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show with more on what to do with those winnings if you are the winner. Phil Hendry Show.
Gotta get a toddy.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the toddy. Hey, you, come here. You with the ponytail. Give me the...
Phil Hendry.